You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I mean, it's always significant when you're in first place, you know, because had we lost this game today, you know, we'd be, you know, we'd have come in here a half a game back and then leave one and a half games behind. And so, we'll take it. We'll take it at any point in time of the season. And hopefully, you know, we never, you know, relinquish first place. And so the guys are feeling it. They're feeling good about themselves. And, you know, we're playing good baseball outside of a couple of mistakes. You know, we're playing good defense.
They're playing great baseball. Great baseball right now. This is one of the better. This team has the potential to be. I mean, you look at the Yankees and how up and down they are, and the Dodgers, and I mean, this team is a contender. So if I'm Justin Verlander, I am getting ready the possibility of Justin Verlander joining you in September and October. The, you know, Fromber around the corner. Odorizzi, if he can, you know, if they can not give up five runs in the minors, that'd be great. That'd be something we could look forward to. But this is a team that could be special. It's a, you know, they had that run that was just so. Of course, they had all the guys out with COVID, but it was, and the pitching sucked then, and they just looked like a bad baseball team. That was a week. The rest of this season. I mean, they lost six in a row during that spread. You're like, but the rest of this season, this is an amazing baseball team.
Yeah, they lost six in a row, but they lost 9 out of 10.
Yeah,
and it was like
it was like, oh my goodness, what the hell happened? Of course, they had all those guys out with COVID. They had guys who got off to such a slow start. I mean, he was hitting the ball. Yeah, Jackie, we know his exit velo was great. Okay, he was hitting to a lot of bad luck. But he, you know, and Straw was bad early on, and Maldonado was terrible, and they didn't come up with any clutch hits whatsoever, and the pitching was bad at that time. Holy crap. You take that, look at this team, you take that run out of it. Of course, yeah, that's baseball. I mean, that's part of the season too, but it's still a great team. Still a great team with that losing 9 out of 10 streak. But they got everybody back, though, and they're on a roll. Even Bregman started pretty well, which is a not very Bregman-like. Yuli is not going to be in contention for an MVP, but he should be. He should be. Look at what he's doing this year.
Yeah, he's going to be in contention. Why wouldn't he be?
Well, Trout is probably out of contention now because he stubbed his toe or something. He's out for 2 months.
Listen, Ohtani is not what the Angels are, some amazing team. No, I think, but
he's going to get plenty of attention.
He'll get plenty of attention, and rightfully so, since he's Babe Ruth in it right now. But that's fine. He's still on a team that is not going to be as good as the Astros. He's still going to be on a team that they're going to have to fight to make a playoffs.
Yeah, no.
Go look how many MVPs are. Go look how many of the most recent MVPs are on non-playoff teams. Now I understand that he's a little different. Because he's hitting and pitching. So I understand why he's the favorite. But, you know, you're going to have a top three in Yuli right now. I don't really know that. Well, I'm not sure about the landscape of it, but I would think Yuli would be in top three.
You know, I don't know that everybody is aware of what Yuli is doing. I mean, obviously the Astros are the most beloved team in baseball. You know, everybody's clamoring to make sure. And you know, the media is going to be, wait, we got to get an Astro up there. We definitely have to vote for the Astros. So that is going to play into it. That is going to play into whether how many votes Yuli gets by these people because they can't stand the Astros. Tyler Ivey makes his start tonight. He's 6'4", 195 pounds. Rookie. Making his first major league appearance tonight. Don't know much about him. All I know is he's starting. 6'4", 195. Tyler Ivey's probably like, holy crap. I'm pitching for the Houston Astros tonight. and he had to be called up in an emergency because you lost. Now you've got without Urquidy, and Oh, by the way, Urquidy comes back. Odorizzi comes back. Fromber comes back. Verlander at the end of the year. This is gonna be fun. So Tyler Ivey tonight. Let's go. Ken Emanuel made his debut, right? How was that? 8 2/3. Was that any good? And, you know, he had to come in an emergency situation, and he pitched great. So we'll see whether or not Tyler Ivey can give us that kind of stuff tonight. Other than that, don't know anything. Big kid, 6'4", 195.
Well, so the Astros, though, were pumping up. You know, they pumped up yesterday, the big return of Fromber and Jake Odorizzi. They were pumping it up through some of their social media, and I know they had a team release that those two guys were going to be pitching over the weekend at the Skeeters.
Mm-hmm.
So excited to see one of those guys. The other one, I'm like, eh.
Well, yeah. If he pitches well, that'll be nice. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Fromber I'm excited about. I hope Fromber is ready to roll.
I would like to see Odorizzi get into a groove. If you add that dude and he's pitching well.
Now, how is Fromber going to do this? Because I remember watching what Kyle Abbott. No.
Jim Abbott, the one-handed guy.
Did Fromber lose a hand?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Didn't the ground ball take out his whole hand, and they had to take it away?
No, he didn't lose a hand.
And it was actually his under his arm.
It was his pitching hand that he hurt.
So is he going right-handed now?
No, he's not pitching right-handed. It healed nicely. Thank God that cooler heads prevailed and they didn't have surgery right away, because he would be out for the season. Thank God he said, no, let's rehab it. And look, he's going to be back in June. I mean, that's totally sweet. He needs a few starts now to get, and he needs a psychologist.
He does have both hands still.
He still has two hands.
I thought the ground ball took his hand and completely mangled it to the point that he had to.
Not everybody who gets injured loses a limb like you.
Does he put his glove under his arm and then let the ball drop into his good hand and he throws to first base on ground balls?
No, he doesn't do that.
Well, okay, I'm not as interested.
Oh, I think you would, since you're talking about that, I think you'd be interested in this person. You should look up Hansel Emanuel. He's a kid who lost his arm when a wall fell on it when he was 6 years old. He moved to the U.S. In February, and he's an internet sensation because he plays basketball at the AAU level with one arm. And he's dunking on fools, making jump shots.
Holy crap.
Hansel, much like Hansel and Gretel, spelled the same way, but his name is Emanuel. No, it's Hansel Emanuel.
Yeah.
And he's like a 6'7 dude. And you would think, just by looking at him, the way he plays, so that kid's a clear college prospect. I don't know, once you get into real organized basketball, playing with one arm is going to affect you, your prospect. But this dude is dominating.
Wow. He is unbelievable. I mean, he's got a spin move. He is sweet.
I'm telling you. I found out about him maybe a couple weeks ago.
He's got moves. He puts the ball up against his body.
He's a real player.
God, real player. He's awesome. Hansel Emanuel.
Yeah,
he's got spin dribbles.
Yeah, he's got a Euro step.
There's no question. If this kid didn't have the accident, he'd be a clear prospect. I just don't know what 100%. Will happen as far as will a college take a chance on.
Know why you wouldn't.
Yeah, but he's
John,
like
John, you want to hit him with the Shaquem Griffin or me?
Well, no, I think he's
did
I,
Shaquem
if
Griffin
you want to know the truth
win MVP of a whole conference.
Yeah,
yes he did.
I mean, I'm this guy is he's sweet.
You know what, I think I would, here's what I'd do. I'd shade him to the left, just take his game completely.
You're
out
a terrible person.
I'm just telling you, he's not getting any love from me.
You think
I'm a competitor, bro.
You think this guy wouldn't dominate you?
No, I'm a competitor, bro.
You have a hard time walking, this guy is going to have a hard time getting around you.
Well, he's going to get it stolen, and if he stays with his right hand, it's a great story, but I'm going to shade him left, and it's over.
You're not. You don't think that's a strategy that's already been employed and not working?
I mean, I'm watching these scrubs in this AAU game, and they just don't know how to defend.
You wouldn't be considered a scrub in the AAU game?
No, you wouldn't. No. You can't get in an AAU game.
Right now, my knee's a little messed up
Of the knee, yes.
Right
Give
now.
Give me some time. If I go to rehab, I'll be fine.
Look, you have shoulder herpes. Your arm is
as... I don't need my shoulder to shade a guy left.
Your arm is less useful than his arm.
Yes, he can use his left arm. He's better with his left arm than you are.
Yeah, his arm could ward guys
off. And it doesn't even reach down to his chest.
He's going to keep trying to trick me into overplaying the left so he can go back right. Not falling for it. I'm sorry, bro. I'm too competitive to let this man score on
me. You are not.
With one hand.
You are not guarding this kid.
Yeah,
he's 6'5". He would eat you alive. Just realize.
I will. I'll square him up at first. He's like sweet, and all of a sudden, he just shaded.
You think simply shading him to the right is going to be enough for you?
He just shaded my right. Lights out. I'm going to pull up with this one-hand jumper.
Man, he is. I'm telling you, this guy can go.
He can collect the ball.
ESPN 97.5. Lance, I previewed it, and now it's the payoff.
But once again, Fromber has both his hands.
Just so you know.
Just to be sure.
Just to be sure.
So no one can shade him one way or another. He can go both ways.
I'm going to throw some shade at Lance thinking he can guard this kid. Mm-mm. And secondly, we're talking hoops. And this kid, he doesn't need to lower the goal. He goes between the legs. He goes he does a 360. He can dunk. Your kid ain't Hansel Emmanuel, okay? Your kid is short and white and can't jump. So your kid needs a hoop sporting goal. Your kid needs a goal that you can lower so that they can actually enjoy it. And that's what this is all about. It's fun. Keith Tate has put together the best product in the history of basketball goals. It's the best. It's not even arguable. The tempered glass backboard, the unbreakable rim, you can lower and raise the backboard depending on, the age of the kids or just having fun. The kids, even the bigger kids, love to lower it so that they can dunk. If you're if you're somebody that is looking for the kids to actually have some fun on the goal and you want the best goal and you want the second to none installation and service and everything else that you get along with the hoops goal, then go to ProDunkHoops.com. Tell Keith Tate you heard it right here. ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Ooh. Ooh. David, DJ Lockdown, says he'll do a three-point shootout with LZ. I don't think he wants any of that.
No,
I saw a video of you shooting threes.
Me or him?
You against David.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fine. We can do that.
Yeah, I saw it was like 12 years ago you doing it, but it was you could shoot back
then.
Yeah,
I can shoot. I can probably still shoot.
That's when you had a left arm. But
no, my arm is okay to shoot now. It's okay to defend, too. So it's and I watch that kid. He's not even playing good defense. He's not like – I'm off.
Other than all the block shots.
Are you trying to take – are you trying to take the lead and push it out there for the worst person to ever exist?
Yeah. No, he's by far.
I'm evaluating him as a prospect.
And you'd like to see him. Shading him right is the way to do things.
Yeah.
Shade him left.
Oh, shade him left. Excuse
yeah. me. I'm not going to let him go right. I'm going to make him go left, and all of a sudden he's going to be like, well, now what?
You think you have quick enough feet to stay in front of him?
I'm going to shade him to help.
Okay.
I'm going to funnel him to help side defender.
I'll tell you this. He's got a quick hand. He can. He just.
I don't.
No. He so just. He still just. Okay the guy was dribbling, no? And he was. He well. He doesn't have quick hands, so he's got a quick hand. He was able to poke a dribble away, and come up with a steal. And listen,
I'm trying not to spit my Diet Dr. Pepper out. Well, he doesn't have quick hands.
He could have just said he's a pretty good defender, but what he said.
Well, no,
was,
he's got a quick hand. There's the what?
He needed
I'm
so
breaking,
badly.
I'm breaking down. This is my scouting report.
To get down, he's got a quick hand. He had,
he had to get it in.
More
he,
than once.
He loves himself for saying it, too. Yes, you too.
I don't know.
Well, I guess Portland Johnny's out the window. We're back to normal Johnny.
he didn't have that electric truck just
not,
yet.
Not yet.
What are you talking about?
See, there's some tact that's involved, and you could have just been like, man, he's a pretty good defender.
He's got to line up over the break.
He'll poke the ball away from you.
He's got a quick hand.
With that quick hand,
oh,
I'm telling you.
God.
Let's get Pittsburgh Ricky in here. What up, Pittsburgh Ricky?
What's up, gentlemen? Hey, I only got a minute. I was just going to call and tell you there's a little shakeup in my 97.5 host power rankings. I share with you nothing significant really at the top or the bottom. You know, the first person that took a tumble was Fowler. He was right there in the middle. Now he's kind of down towards the bottom. I mean, I know he married a Canadian lady, and that all of a sudden makes him like a Toronto Maple Leafs betting expert. But he's been so off with his picks and.
Oh. Don't tell him that.
Just dropped because of Toronto Maple Leaf bets.
don't please.
Literally,
please don't call that show.
Takes the under every single time. Joel Blank, I love the guy because his energy. He's a good guy. You could tell. But I mean, the Packers pandemonium has to stop. This isn't ESPN, Green Bay, Milwaukee. The other day he's tearing up Greenberg. Can you believe Greenberg opened up a segment talking about Aaron Rodgers, and then he subsequently went on to talk about Aaron Rodgers for 15 minutes? Okay, we got it. Aaron Rodgers isn't happy in Green Bay. Let it go. I was happy to hear Shara get the little plug from my bookie. Happy for the kid. I want to see the kid do well. Wasn't that happy, though, when I heard the segment that he and Dell did for probably 2 hours. About opening car doors for women. I don't. That was just. I turned the dial. And then lastly, somebody's got to tell Polillo, it's not a big deal if the Rooster open or close. They still play the damn sport. The Astros won the World Series with the roof open or with the roof closed. Life goes on. All right, that's it. You guys have a good one.
Sounds like I moved up. I'm just going to let you know. Well, it sounds like I moved up.
Well, Nick was always last.
Yeah, Nick was last. So,
and certainly when he brought that to the table, I guess it didn't help his cause as far as Pittsburgh Ricky was concerned. He didn't really number anything. Because, Lance, weren't you already ahead of Joel?
Yeah, I was like number 4, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't have moved up.
No, you're 1.
Yeah.
I do appreciate him treating his calls like it's a CBS Sports Power Rankings for basketball.
I thought he was going to talk Astros Power. I forgot that he does.
He's the guy who ranks
the host Power Rankings.
Hey, Ricky, if you want to do that every week, just like a website would do for baseball or football,
right.
You can do that.
Move up and down. You're up 2 spots. You're down 1.
Yeah, depending on how your week went.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of it.
Right. Lance picked up points because he wasn't on last week, right?
No, I didn't talk about opening the door for women. I didn't talk about Maple Leaf hockey. I didn't talk about Aaron Rodgers.
No.
And I didn't talk – who was the other one in there? Oh, and Charlie Polillo, the roof closed.
Roof open, roof closed.
Look, I'm a roof closed guy. That's fine.
Well, the question would be, did you actually move up when everyone below you was who he was talking about?
Well, do you say that the Aggies moved up when they're off and the teams ahead of them lose? Yeah,
but the teams ahead of you didn't lose.
Yeah, they did. They lost by talking about car doors.
It was teams below him who lost.
Oh,
yeah. But if you listen carefully, no, he had Polillo ahead of me.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. Charlie was
ahead. I think I was 5. He had Charlie ahead of me. And you know what? He was always wrong on that anyway.
Well, Charlie could win, but win by fewer than the number and still stay ahead of you.
Yeah. I just.
I don't think it happened.
Well, you know how when the rankings come out, like players or the coach will complain and go to Twitter? We have one team upset with the rankings.
Who's upset with the rankings?
Well, guess.
Joel.
The first thing was shut up. That was simple. I mean, Joel, I don't know. There it is. Joel, why are you talking to me? I'm not the one who ranked you that way. And he also said Ricky can EOD. I think he means EAD.
Ooh.
he's going to keep falling. You can't talk to the selection committee.
Yeah,
Joe.
Well, you can walk out like the softball team.
Yeah,
did.
When they didn't like their
the
seating.
Oregon softball Washington. Team just walked right out.
It's Washington softball same thing. Team. Okay,
Washington softball biggest team. Biggest rivals. Oregon and they hate, softball. And
they Washington, Oregon. They hate each other. Biggest rivals. But yes, same.
They're
thing.
The same thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Joel. I mean, you would have to take that up with Ricky. I'm not part of the selection committee. Mm-hmm. I'm actually one of the teams. Sorry. It's not my. I can't get you higher. You got to talk
Joel
to Ricky about that.
Joel is texting you.
He texted me. Showed up. I was like, Joel, you mean you're talking to Ricky, right? Because I didn't rank you.
Did he tell you the EAD?
No, he said Pittsburgh.
He said, no,
Ricky.
Ricky's got an EAD.
Yeah.
See, but you can't do that with the selection committee.
No, you can't.
You just got to take your seating, you know? and then you move on.
I mean,
you try. You know what? If you're a 15 seed, beat a 2.
Well, you win, and then you make a comment in a post-game interview that's salty.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of people doubted us. You know, we felt disrespected by our seeding.
Or like Nate that. McMillan. Okay, listen, the league wanted Lance to move up in the the ratings, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the league wanted.
No, Lance is like Ohio State. He keeps rising without even playing. Wait a minute. These guys, their schedule's not even.
Lance only played 6 games this year.
I kept playing. Oh, no, I was out all last week, I guess. I'm back this week. You know what I did? I kept playing. Here's what I did. I just kept my mouth shut and stuck to the hits. I stuck with sports, with hardcore, down-the-middle sports topics. Your Astros, bullpen talk.
And look,
that's how you keep it right in the
fairway. And you move up the rankings while Charlie's talking about roofs. Come on,
and
Charlie.
And he's talking
Ricky
about
don't want to hear no roof talk or Aaron.
We got
Aaron Rodgers talk, Joel.
You know what we talk about here? Deshaun Watson. Yeah. Did he whip the towel off because it was hot or because he was itchy? You make the call. 713-780-3776.
Yeah, Joel,
can't stand a sheet on him.
Joel, you don't see Jimbo taking shots at Jeff Long in the middle of the season. He'll take his shots at Jeff Long after if things don't go as well. He may not take a shot at all.
Yeah.
Joel goes, I'm taking a shot at the ranker, not the ranking.
Okay, you know who Joel
still,
is?
You can't do that during
the
middle
Joel
of the
is?
Season.
No.
Okay, then maybe you need to start recognizing that Joel is actually Steve Spurrier. Because Steve Spurrier, he didn't take shots at rankings. He just took shots at other coaches. But he would do it in the middle of a season.
Joel is probably whatever mid-major coach is upset with this ranking. Because the mid-rip majors don't care.
Ooh, you're calling Joel a mid-major.
No, but a mid-major who rises.
Wow, Joel. No.
Go to a break.
Are you going to let me explain?
You insulted him a little bit.
Are you just going to cut me off or let me explain? The only guys who do that are the mid-majors because they know it doesn't matter what they say. They don't play the game where it's like, oh, man, it was just great to be ranked. The mid-majors are like, this sucks. They're screwing us over. Joel's the coach at UCF right now.
Ooh.
He's like, hey, I'm really good, and you're not giving me my proper due.
Joel, yeah. I think you're a power five. As a matter of fact, I think you're Alabama.
Did you just say, is he?
He's not acting like one.
What if he's Rutgers?
Rutgers.
That's
a power five team.
That ain't a power five school.
No, he's a guy who's had great success like UCF, and he's not getting the respect he deserves.
Okay,
you think
he's UCF? I think he's Alabama. But okay,
he's not being ranked like Alabama.
No, well, Alabama has off years too.
When?
But then they could move up. Okay.
When's Alabama had an off year?
Right after Gene Stallings left. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Way back when.
Right,
during the playoff era, they haven't had any off years.
Yeah. That's when they had off years, okay? They don't win it every year,
but
they don't win it every year.
Yeah, but they never have off years. Like, they're off year. Oh, they
lost
twice.
Okay, you can call Joe UCF. I'm not.
Really good and not getting the respect he deserves.
Yeah.
That's what I'm calling
him.
Poor choice. I think he's Wisconsin. That's what I think. All right? He's right there. Maybe you can get out of that slow left-handed quarterback every once in a while. Okay, maybe you could do that, Joel.
You just called him the Jim Sorges of the station.
It's 8:27. I promised you a Chastang spot, and now I'm delivering. Have you signed up for your electric F-150? All you have to do is go to Chastang Ford. Listen, I was talking to Patrick and Allie about this. And Patrick says this right now, the best way to go about
None
buying
of that
your
went
car.
Over well.
Pardon me? Oh, is
I said,
Lance,
I said, yeah, I told you guys. I said, I just can't wait for you, John, to take your heat with your electric truck. You're still going to get your heat.
Oh, it's an F-150. Guess what? It's going to be sweet. And everybody's going to go, man, I wish I had one of them like John does. Well, John's already signed up for it. Okay. I'm going to get it. Now, they're in production. It's going to take a while. And you know what? I've got my lease going with my Expedition, and I'll be out of it, and it's going to be, the timing could work out perfectly. I don't know what your situation is with your car, but if you're looking for, I drove the Mustang, electric Mustang. It is unbelievable, people. It is unbelievable. And the F-150 is going to be even better. It's an F-150, and it's going to be totally electric, and I'm going to be one of the first in Houston to get one because I've already signed up, but you can sign up at Chastang Ford as well. But here's the deal. Order your car now. If you want gas, that's fine. You can also get the F-150 in a hybrid. You can do that as well. That's what DePatrick has. But you can sign up and order your vehicle, and it'll get to you. If you've got time, this is the way to do it because they'll be delivered in 2, 3, 4 months. But you get exactly what you want, and this is the best way to do it because you spend as little as possible because you get exactly the stuff that you want, not added on stuff that's added on by in the packages that you don't need. If I don't want that window behind that is going to open and close, I don't need that. So I don't want that in my vehicle. You can order your vehicle exactly as you want it. Do it at ChastangFord.com or get to the dealership and talk to the people and get what you want at Chastang Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.831 on ESPN 97.5. I mean, is this, Lance, what are NFL people saying about the 17-game schedule? 33rd team has put out what the 17-game schedule means for roster management. Next year, the practice squad is going from 12 to 14. It went from 10 to 12. Now it's going to be 14 in 2022. But are people really worried about one extra game this year? I've heard about people talking about load management.
They are. I think it's the concept. So I only talked to one person who is not even a decision maker. Like he's a scout. And he just said, I said, is this a big deal to y'all at all? He goes, it's not a big deal. They just hate it. You know, they hate the fact that for another week, because they just think it's a money grab. So, you know, I think inside the league, there's probably people based on his comments. My guess is there are people who just think this has nothing to do with football. It's all just for money. And all it's going to do is make it more difficult to keep players healthy, keep rosters intact. It's just another week of trying to figure out, you know, your 53-man roster. So I don't think they're going to be huge fans of it. What's the advantage of it?
The advantage of a 17? Yeah, it's another – that's all. It's just another game
There's no advantage. How does it make it? How does it make football better? Does it improve?
But does Thursday night make football better? No. I mean, does that – is player safety? They don't give a rat's ass about players.
Right.
Your league is so two-faced and hypocritical. I mean, my league had a 10-game season, which is what it should be. Your league, just let's throw another game out. Let's bring Tim Tebow at 80 years old out there on crutches so we can make some money off of his likeness. I mean, your league sucks. Your league is embarrassing as far as player safety. Such hypocrites. Anyway, I can't believe that one extra game is getting this much attention, though, that it's going to be this. It's just another game to play, that's all.
It is. I think it is going to be maybe a little bit more of a pain in the ass. I mean, when you look at how the game, how long the season is, I think it's, you know, making sure that you keep players healthy, having to go another week of your Tuesday tryouts and just everything that goes with it. I have not heard. Are they keeping all the rules of the practice squad the same as it was before? Which I thought was a good idea to have more of them. And to have veteran allowances, at least one veteran allowance where you didn't have to worry if a guy met the criteria of.
We haven't seen any changes in that. So, yeah. So I guess that you still can. That all the rules from last year are still in place. We haven't seen any changes anyway. Listen. They went from 14 games. It used to be 14 games, and then it went to 16, and now it's 17. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if we didn't eliminate another preseason game and we go an 18-game schedule someday. That is certainly not out of the realm of possibility. Maybe a few years, but it will probably happen. So we got an even number of games for whatever reason. We need an even number of games. But I could certainly see the league doing that because it'll put more money in the owners' pockets. And so that is without a doubt. So all of this stuff about, we just care about players. Say they don't give a rat's ass. As far as CBS put out there, the best off seasons. Where do you think the Texans came in on best off seasons?
Bottom three.
They were 29th. The Texans were 29th as far as off seasons go. And I thought, I would think it would be worse than that. I think they should have been in the 30s. But okay, if you think that, they had the 29th best offseason, okay. I mean, what with all the Deshaun stuff, what with not having any draft picks, what with signing a bunch of phase two guys, okay, 29th, all right. I mean, because teams got better. I think the Jets got better. I don't know. Are they going to be better with Zach Wilson, or are they going to be?
I just think they're going to be better as a team. I don't think they were good with Sam Darnold. I don't think they're going to be any worse with Zach Wilson, and I definitely don't think they're going to be any worse with the moves that they made. And I don't think they're going to be any worse with Adam Gase out of that building. So, yeah, I think the Jets will be a tough route this year.
Yeah.
I think Robert Saleh is going to have that team playing tough defense, and I don't think it's going to be that easy to play the Jets this year. Hell, they even got a little competitive at the end of the year.
They have the Lions as the worst offseason. Okay, you trade, you got Jared Goff now. I can certainly, instead of Stafford, I can certainly see that. They got the Bears 31st. I don't know. I think Justin Fields might be their quarterback of the future. I don't know why they give them that. I mean, Justin, they moved up. They got Justin Fields. They may have solved the problem, although maybe not immediately have solved the problem, but they may have solved the problem for the future. They got the Jets 30th, and they got the Houston Texans 29th. The Texans have this offseason, they over the last few years, they've lost every star on the team. They have the worst quarterback situation in the league, it can't have gotten any worse losing one of the best quarterbacks and then picking up a third round Stanford guy. I mean, I don't understand these, how the Jets have, or the Bears had a worse offseason than the Texans, but okay. Then they have the Giants. They have the best offseason, Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to tell you this, Kansas City fixing that, the way they fixed that offensive line problem, that's going to be a problem for the rest of the league. They did a hell of a job this offseason with that offensive line.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they had a plan, and they traded. I mean, they did trade they traded what amounted to a mid-second round pick once you convert all the picks into value, because there was multiple picks traded between the Ravens and the Chiefs. But what they got, and it's kind of interesting because the Ravens are a team that considers themselves in play in the AFC to challenge Kansas City. For them to help what would amount to a rival, in terms of playing although they haven't met in the playoffs, but they do amount to a rival in terms of where they're both headed. They just traded them a position that they really need, which I hadn't really thought about it until someone else brought it up to me about, there's all this talk about division teams. What about the fact that the Ravens, who are up there as one of the top teams every year, traded a tackle to a team that was desperate for a tackle? And I thought about it, and I'm like, yeah, it's actually not a bad point. You traded a tackle, a position that was desperately needed to protect Pat Mahomes. You actually gave them a player who could do that. Mm-hmm. You didn't give it to him, but I thought he made a pretty good point. I thought, yeah, it's kind of true.
Yeah. They have the Bucks. Hey, what Super Bowl team actually keeps all 22 starters? Zero. What Super Bowl winner keeps all 22 starters? And the Bucks did that. They got everybody back. And they also have the Packers as having the third best offseason. That's assuming Aaron Rodgers is going to be there, that Aaron Rodgers shows up and is going to play. They got the Cowboys fourth, Rams fifth, sixth is Buffalo, Cleveland, Baltimore, the Falcons, and the Saints. I don't know that I'm having the Saints up there.
I'm definitely not.
Yeah. No. I don't think the Saints are going to have a very good year at all, as a matter of fact. We'll see. I mean, I don't – you're dependent on Jameis and Taysom. Okay. All right. We'll find out how that works out for you. Although they do have a good roster. It's just I don't have any faith whatsoever in Jameis. The Bucs got rid of Jameis, and they went on a team that couldn't get into the playoffs to go on to win the Super Bowl. So that's the guy that's going to replace Drew Brees. Okay. All right.
You say so.
If you, yeah. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. Did you see that guy falling into that river? He was walking with, he was hiking, and he fell face first into that.
Yes, I saw it.
Now, if there was water there, that would probably be you today, right?
Could be.
Yeah. But then that's unrealistic because there's no water where you are.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true. I think at Big Bend there's going to be water. I think so.
You think
Big Bend is a huge national park? Like it's one of the best in the country. I think it's going to be really nice. It's just I've got that. Like, how do I get really high in Big Bend without having to? How do I drive up there where it's cooler than 103 degrees? Can I drive? I don't have to climb.
Well, are you starting down there at Lajitas and walking up Big Bend, or
no?
You guys are driving over there.
Man, why is there a video of Lolo Jones here in my timeline?
Well, she's.
Yes, I better watch it. Yes, I better watch it. It's here. What am I gonna do? Not watch it? It's disrespectful to a former Olympian, or maybe somebody who got. Maybe they didn't make the Olympic. Did she make the team as an Olympic hurdler?
I'm pretty sure it's a bikini just shot of her.
She's, yeah.
Yeah.
Was she famous for just being a hot hurdler, or did she actually make
the squad? Won a couple world championships.
She did? Yeah. Just not. Did she win an Olympic medal?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it feels like she did. It she seems did not, like but, she did based on this Instagram.
But she did make the Olympics.
This Instagram says different. It says she's a gold medalist.
She is. Mm. In world championships.
Yeah. And I don't think they have a bikini competition at the Olympics anymore. Do you see that?
Yeah, not anymore.
Do you see how Japan is? We'll talk about it on the other side. Japan is thrilled about these Olympics.
They've been threatening to cancel this thing, even with the, we're just doing it in the next year. Now Japan's like, don't be so sure.
No. Listen, you might have heard, and I talked about this, okay, here I gave you the preview. Coming up at the top of the hour, John Clay Wolf is going to join us. But right now, we're talking about HRP. I told you we would, and here we are, an hour ago. If you've been with us for an hour, you know, and you've been waiting. You want to hear about HRP. You want to hear about the greatness that is Mike Holley. You want to hear about Mike Holley is the owner, okay, U of H guy, played tackle for the football team, big supporter. You Cougs out there. This is the kind of company. It's a locally owned and operated company. We're supposed to buy local. But listen, it doesn't matter if your company has branches in 50 states. It doesn't matter because HRP is going to figure that out and exactly what they have to do in each state tax-wise for each of your employees. That is not a problem for HRP. The technology there is second to none. They've got their office is over on the Beltway, and it is spectacular. And when you see the computer sets, it's unbelievable how unbelievably technologically advanced this company is. And oh, by the way, and not only that, but with the people, they have Affordable Care Act experts. They have teams that are taking care of just the PPP and the small business loans and the unemployment claims. It is spectacular. Laura Beavers does a commercial for us here for them, and will tell you if you need to talk to her about HRP, she will give you that glowing recommendation and tell you exactly. She's our CFO. She can tell you exactly what they do for us. So if you're looking for that payroll company and that HR company, it's HRP. HRP.net, 281 880-6525 or HRP.net.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No, no, no. 845 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Ice Gelski put out his host rankings. If you got host rankings, you're more than welcome to put them out there. Joel was none too pleased with those either.
Well, of course not.
And 713-780-3776, if you want to get in here, you're more than welcome to do that. Barstool is doing two golfers walking. What is it called when you do the people in the pool that do all the same moves?
Synchronized
swimming.
Yeah, two golfers synchronized walking. They both got their putters, and it's almost identical. It's your man. Tell Chris his man Brooks Koepka can do synchronized walking with a putter. Okay, he and Rory. I mean, they walk identical, and they swing the club the same way.
Oh, that's cute. Did they buy each other jeans?
They did not buy, and I don't think they bought anybody jeans. No, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I can't believe I'm so thankful that you brought that up. That even though I missed it, I didn't fully miss it.
No, you didn't. That happened. You were. I don't know why it came up, but it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable for everybody. Okay.
I'm glad it came up.
Yes.
I'm glad it came up.
Yeah. No. One of my friends. Did you see? Oh my gosh. Did you see Josh Reddick? He plays for Arizona now. He came to the plate at Dodger Stadium, and the organist played I Saw the Sign.
That was pretty brilliant, to be honest with you. I saw that, and I immediately thought, A, good for an Astro catching it outside of the Astros uniform, because that never happens. But B, and Reddick was one of those guys who actually, I think, did benefit.
He did benefit from it.
Yeah. I mean, if Tyler White was still actually playing baseball, he should be hearing it all the time. Does Marwin?
Jake
Mariznick.
I don't
know if Marwin does. Jake Mariznick. But, yeah, Reddick, and I thought, it's pretty clever. That's a pretty clever move. Ace of Bases, I Saw the Sign, is a pretty clever, it's a pretty clever way to attack a former Astro.
Yeah.
I had no problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh is, he played his role here. He played a nice right field, made some catches. I'm looking at one of the catches he made in the ALDS against the A's. Greinke served one up, and I think it's Olsen hit one and would have been gone, but Josh goes up and gets it. Josh Reddick was a nice player here. He brought the woo to the team, which is horrible, but he did bring it. And, Josh Reddick will be thought of fondly here.
You know, I never thought of Oral Hershiser as a cut-up when he played. I grew up in L.A., so he was pretty popular
when I was really, really young.
Yeah, he goes, hey, Peter, do you have any garbage can songs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that guy, Oral Hershiser.
I didn't know Oral was such a guy who will just get the giggles out of people.
Oral.
Didn't know that was his personality.
You know what? He should be on Good Morning America because he's irreverent. And he's smart, and he's clever, he's timely. Oral Hershiser, guy that needs to be on a bigger platform. He needs to be out there putting some of his comedy and baseball to use on a national stage.
I think Netflix should look to him for one of their next specials.
Mm-hmm.
Put Oral out there, give him a good hour, and see what he's got. It'd be all Astros and baseball jokes.
He's hilarious. Oral is nothing says funny like Oral.
He is hilarious if you listen to his partner. That guy was laughing it up. He goes, Oral, look at you.
How about Astros taking care of Oakland, too? They're in front of 4,000. in front of 4,000, the Astros take care. This year, the A's. Last year, not so much, although the postseason, they kicked their ass. They kicked the A's ass. This year, they're our biznotches. They're the Astros' biznotches this year. They're taking care of that business. And can't happen to nicer guys. Can't happen. And Mike fires once again. Okay, so let me look at the schedule. When do the Astros get the A's again? Because if Mike Fiers is hurt again, they don't play Oakland again until July 6th and 6th, 7th, and 8th here. Mm-hmm. Does Mike Fiers pitch against the Astros here?
Yeah, right?
No. It's been 2 years, Lance.
He's trying to get out there. There's something that always pops up with injury or the rotation just doesn't work well or COVID or whatever. He's trying to get out there.
There is zero chance that he pitches here.
Someone's
been keeping track of the stats. Since the start of the 2020, this is at DFank_BU. Since the start of the 2020 season, the Astros and A's have played 23 times, including playoffs. In those games, Oakland pitchers have thrown 199 innings, facing 870 Astro hitters. They've thrown 3,260 pitches. In those innings, zero of those pitches have been thrown by Mike Fiers.
Zero. Now, last year, the A's, look at the difference. Did you see they put up the graphic? Like, the Astros scored 1-point-something runs against them a game last year. This year, eight runs a game against them. Last year, every stat, for whatever reason, the A's, they just dominated. They bullied the Astros. This year, the Astros said, no. The A's got a nice lineup, but it ain't even close. Chapman's not the same guy. I thought Chapman was going to turn into the best third baseman in baseball, and he just hasn't done that. He just hasn't stepped up. I'll take Bregman all day. I don't know that there's how many positions the A's have that you'd say, oh, I'd rather have that guy.
Not many at all. You mean versus Astros?
Center. Did you see the catcher get the snot beat out of him and he had to leave the game?
Oh, my God. Two games ago?
Yeah.
Where he was getting pummeled by foul balls. He had blood coming out of his ear. Jeff Blum goes, is that blood out of his ear? And then Todd Cowles, I believe it is blood. Julia, is it blood? It's definitely blood, Todd. Blood out of the ear. That's not good.
No.
Jeff's like, no, that's not good at all.
If your blood ear is bleeding, no, that's horrible. That is a bad sign. That means you got to get into the dugout. You got to get into the clubhouse. Okay? We can't have blood.
Let me Google WebMD. What does it mean when blood is coming out of my ear? Oh, none of these are good. Oh, boy. I shouldn't be catching.
So I don't know. Is there any, the rotation? Their lineup. This is a first place team. Well, they were the first place team in the division, and I don't know any spot that I would trade with. I would trade center field. If you put Laureano, I'll take Laureano back.
Yeah.
I'll take Laureano back in center.
Yep,
that's about it. I'll take Brantley over Canna in left. I'll take everybody over everybody. I'll take Tucker. There's nowhere where I would rather have an A. Other than center field.
Astros over everybody.
Or everybody, yeah. And so this is a team that they should be bullying. You're better at every position.
Mm-hmm.
And they took care of that business. That's nice. Texas tonight, which is probably one of the worst teams in baseball. But this is the only break that you've got in this schedule. After the A's, where you just won 2 out of 3. By the way, picking up series wins now. Swept the Rangers. 2 out of 3 against the Angels. Won 2 out of 3 against Toronto. Lost 2 out of 3 against the Yankees, but beat Tampa 2 out of 3. Beat Seattle 3 out of 4. Beat the Angels again 3 out of 4. And then they had, going back to that bad streak where they lost 9 out of 10. But since that 9 out of 10 streak, they've lost one series, and that was to the Yankees. Now you got the Rangers, which, play well. You got a rookie starting tonight, Tyler Ivey, but then you got McCullers and Javier. After that, the Dodgers come to town for 2 games. That'll be fun. Greinke and Garcia go. San Diego's in town. That'll be fun. That's a good baseball team. Then the Red Sox come in for 4. Another 10-game No, that's a 9-game homestand because you only got two against the Dodgers. A 9-game homestand. And then you go to Toronto, which is a good team, and then you go to Boston, which is a good team, then you go to Minnesota, which is a good team. So this is the toughest stretch, maybe the toughest stretch of the year. And you started it pretty damn good. 855 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about GimmeTheVin.com and John Clay Wolf and my man, John Clay Wolf. And you got your story coming up, right, Lance? Didn't you have a story that you assaulted?
Oh, yeah.
A story that you wanted to
tell? I got
to
wait until after 9 because a woman does things.
Oh, well, is this the one that she sat on her husband's head and killed him?
No, that's a different one. That was in Russia. This one happened in Minnesota.
Minnesota. Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that on the other side then. But first, we're going to talk about John Clay Wolf. John Clay Wolf is joining us right now on ESPN 97.5, and he'll be here tomorrow morning on his John Clay Wolf show. What's up, John Clay Wolf?
I'm in Little Rock.
You're in Little Rock? I mean, that's a nice little city. It's fine.
Smuggling drugs near Mena, Arkansas, in memory of Bill Clinton and Barry Seal and Pablo Escobar.
Oh, okay. All right, I didn't know that we'd have a Bill Clinton, Pablo Escobar sighting here on the show this morning.
Did you see that movie? Mena with Tom Cruise as the drug runner?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And
know your history.
Bill Clinton was, I forget Bill Clinton was in it. I didn't remember that, but okay.
He signed the governor's release to let the drug runner out of jail when they arrested Barry Seal. He's like, y'all don't realize who I know. And he was out of jail just like 10 hours later.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, because he was running for the Contras, right?
Yes.
He was collecting money for the Contras. Nicely done. So you're just, you're not, I mean, you ain't even, I mean, we think about you as just being a local Texas guy, but you're national now, everywhere you're at. Are you the biggest now car buyer in the country?
Yes.
You are?
The largest wholesale dealer in the U.S.
Are you? Have you hit 1,000 yet in a week?
Oh yeah, we'll do $1 billion in sales in 2021.
No kidding, man! You must be loaded. You must be so.
It takes a lot of money to run this thing. It takes a ton, and it takes a lot of accounting. It's stressful.
It is.
I've got plenty of money. It's just you have so much money out on the street. Everything I've made for the past, I've been doing this for 26 years, and everything I've made, I mean, I live nice, but not, you know, heavy, but I just keep everything in the company because it takes all that, I had to build all that money up into the company to be able to do this.
Nice, nice, but when you sell it one day for billions, then you're going to, then what? You're just going to run drugs?
I was offered a ton for it about a month ago. And I didn't do it because I'm just not. I want to finish the country, and I want to do 100,000 cars in a year. And when we do that, then I've got 4 kids and you know, 3 boys, and the girl's smart. And wouldn't it be cool to have them come into it? So I don't know. I just the money won't change your life. I mean, I've made good money for a quarter century. I mean, I've got plenty of piled up in the bank to run this thing. And selling it would be sad, so I'll probably just keep doing it.
I don't want you to be sad. So, listen, if you want to sell your car to somebody, sell it to John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVin.com. Don't make him sad. GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5.